Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Barry Denner, Brendan Favola, and Fev. I want to read these stats out to you. 33 possessions, 17 contested, 6 clearances and 3 goals. That was my stats for the season.
I was about to say, that were all my stats when I played as well.
That was 1985. But this man last night, that was his stats at the end of the game. The Cats, 25-point winners over the Bulldogs. He's a star. Paddy Dangerfield. Morning, Paddy. Big win and another little tick in the box as you head towards September.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was. It was a great result last night, especially to send off two absolute champions of our footy club. It was a great way to finish a great week after obviously seeing what they've done for the footy club over a long period of time.
Yeah, you talk about those boys, Paddy, and you know, you're by far the best player in the AFL at the moment, but you look at those blokes and they've won premierships, Norm Smiths, Brownlows, best and fairest. You just look at these three, those two guys, and just think, wow, you blokes are you are what football is.
Yeah, absolutely, Fev. It's I think if you're picking a greatest team ever, it's going to be hard to go past Corey Enright for a halfback flank. Like, he's been that good for such a long period of time, and he's arguably in all Australian form, you know, at 34, 35 this year. So he's been an absolute champion of the game, and Jimmy is, you know, the word clutch is used in the NBA often, and I think he certainly personifies that for the AFL. He's a big game player, and you know, in big games throughout the season this year, he just stands up, whether it be a smother or a tackle or a possession. You know, they're both just incredible players, and I feel pretty lucky to have played. I've played 17 games, 16 games with them, but I've certainly enjoyed every one of them.
Now, I heard you blokes, a good source down there, that you blokes are leaving just dollar coins around, and the caddy off is picking them up off, what's Happy Gilmore? Is that right? Is he just go around and pick them up, Jimmy Bartel, all the coins?
Something like that.
What's going on? I know it's for a good cause, but geez, he's a beautiful man, but he's just lost that look.
Well, he's funded a few different skincare companies in his time, Jim, but we're not seeing a huge amount of skin at the moment with that bushy beard, but it is for a wonderful cause, and I think it speaks volumes for the person.
100%.
Not only is he a wonderful player, but he's a wonderful person off field, and his heart's in the right place, but it's certainly a bushy beard.
It's a bushy beard. Now, mate, getting back to your amazing year, you've come across from Adelaide, and everyone talks about it, but you just must be really proud of yourself. You've come into a great side, a great foundation in Geelong Footy Club, but your form, mate, it's just been incredible.
Oh, I think you're right when you said I've come into a great footy club, and that certainly makes things easier. I think with the quality of people that we have, not only on the field, but offered in administration as well, I can see why Geelong has been so successful. It's certainly by no fluke. So I've been very lucky to come into a side that has wonderful players, such a strong back line, you know, and a really young midfield at the moment. So I think the future certainly looks bright for us. And we've started to introduce some younger kids to the side as well this year. We're playing some pretty good footy at the same time. Link McCarthy's one of those. And he's been one that I've looked at straight away and thought, this kid's got a bright future ahead, and he's really quite impressive.
Now, Paddy, just on the sly, mate, your season's going amazing. Your Brownlow favourite, but I got Dusty Martin at 100-1 at the start of the year. Can you just call your Jets for a couple of weeks, mate?
He's had a pretty good season, hasn't he, Dusty?
He's had a great season, mate. I need to fill the pockets up, mate.
Someone asked me about him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I think he's the best stiff arm the game's ever seen. Oh. I stand by that. He's almost untackable, that man. So he's having an unbelievable year.
Now, Paddy, you have the win last night. You got the weekend to yourself. Now, no doubt if Howie was here, this would be a 5-minute interview about surfing. Are you sticking the board under the arm today?
Not today, Vaz, but hopefully tomorrow afternoon at some stage. But a little bit on today, but I think the weather's going to be okay for tomorrow. So I've been trying to introduce a few of the Cats boys into the water, and Scooter Selwood has been spending a fair bit of time down at Knox Creek. So slowly but surely starting to poison the mind of a few, which is good.
You talk about the water, and I know you love your fishing. You've got the boat out there lately. Is it a bit too chilly in the mornings down there at the Cattery?
It's been bloody cold, Seb. I won't lie to you. I was driving in the other morning. It was 4 degrees. So it's actually not as bad in the water, but it's pretty bad on the water if you're fishing. So
you love your fishing?
I love the fishing, but it's probably a bit more for summer at the moment. But I've got a new boat, so I've got to some stage.
Just a $20 million yacht or?
No, it's nothing like that. It's a very, very modest North Tank boat. Nothing too extreme, Seb.
We're talking to Paddy Dangerfield on Triple M Dead Set Legends. Hey, Paddy, a bit of pressure on one of your mates down there over the last few weeks, and he wants to get a bit better of himself as he heads into the final. That's big Tommy Hawkins. Always good to have a big forward being able to clunk and kick goals, but got a bit of help from a mate last night in Reece Stanley, kick five, and that's not only really important for Reece, but it was, I reckon, would have been a fantastic result for Tommy as well, who's looking to just capture a little bit of form.
Yeah, Reece was sensational last night. He's been putting in a huge amount of work, so it was really good to see him get some reward. But I suppose for Tommy, and several attest to this, he might not be putting, you know, getting the stats output, but he's such an important focal point for us. And I think all big key forwards are, because they demand something of the opposition. They can't just drop off and look to attack. So while Hawkey's had his critics externally, we've still been really impressed with what he's done. And especially over the last couple of weeks, he's really stood up. He stood up for us last week against the Crows.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right, Paddy, in what you say. I think, you know, Tommy Hawkins had the, you know, the sort of the light put on him a fair bit the last couple of weeks, but I just thought it was great on last night. And I know when I used to play, it wasn't about how many goals you kick. It was about getting everyone else involved. And I think he gave away two goals in the first quarter with a handball. He had six score involvements. And as long as he's doing that and bringing his smalls into the game, that means it's helping the team. It's not always about how many goals he kicks.
Exactly right. And I think that's something sometimes we all forget, but it's the most difficult position to play on the field as a key forward, and especially a dominant key forward, because
that's the hardest position.
Yeah, they generally know where the ball's going to go because it's such a focal point. So he's not battling against just his opponent, he's battling against Easton Wood, who's dropping back into the hole. So we couldn't be more impressed with what Hawkey's doing at the moment. It was great to see Reece stand up and kick five.
Yeah, he was great.
Give us some good work in the ruck as well.
Gee, she's a tight season, Paddy. You've been around a while and very tight at the top. You sit in second place at the moment, but we know that's a rotating week-to-week situation depending on wins and losses. And have you seen it tighter than it is in 2016 in regards to opportunities at the business end of the season?
No, I haven't, Barry. It's been quite unbelievable, really. I mean, we played the Crows last week. They were sitting second and we were seventh. And all of a sudden, after that game, we were up to third. So it's quite an astonishing season. I think if Gill and the commissioners are sitting back, I think they'd be quite happy with what they've done with the game and where it sits, because it is such an open competition. And even the sides outside of the eight, even though it looks to be relatively set, when those teams have played really good footy, we've seen Carlton, St Kilda, Collingwood on their day, you can't take any game for granted. So it's been a great season, I think, for the spectators.
Now, for people that don't follow you on Instagram, mate, I follow you on Instagram. You've got a bit of James Corden going on. Carpool karaoke with the missus. Can you please explain to our listeners what... Because you can't sing.
No, I can't sing. That's life in mind, Seth. Well, for me, it takes an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes to get to the MCG or Etihad Stadium. So it's a long time to sit in the car and just listen to, you know, just the stock sound songs on radio. So we like to break it up a bit. So generally the last 40 minutes of our trip, and this is literally every game, Disney songs. So we sit there and have a laugh and have a giggle. And
Let it go.
Exactly right. A bit of Frozen action. So, and then Marge in her wisdom decided she'd stick it up on Instagram, and it sort of went from there. So good on her.
Mate, it's great. It actually gets me up and about when I watch that on Instagram. Best of luck for the next of the year, mate. You're sitting second, and mate, I'm on the Cats bandwagon. Hopefully you're there in grand final day, and all the best for everything that comes your way in the next couple of weeks at the end of the year, and good luck to the Cats for the rest of the season, mate.
Thanks, Dave.
This is Dead Set Legends, brought to you by Harvey Norman.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Barry Denner and Brendan Favola.
Hey, let's take two.
Yes, absolutely. Wednesday night is massive. High Sense Arena. It's Danny Green versus Kane Watts, the top of the card.
Sugar Kane.
Go, Danny. Now, on Wednesday night on the undercard, Fev, Kane Pettifer, the former 113-game timer, is donning the gloves again.
Yeah, one of my good mates, and played with him up at Yarrawonga for the Pigeons, plays for Kyabra and Bombers, as I said before, and he's fighting Curry Green Kwa Moore Krung the Puth Bari. Is that right?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, wow. Nailed that. How you going, mate? Are you already? You've had your last sparring session. The weight's good. The body, the rig's looking amazing. How are you feeling?
Yeah, going pretty well. Thanks, mate. I've put in a lot of effort there. So 10 solid weeks of training, and hopefully I can put that in the ring on Wednesday night. But pretty excited. Got that bit of nerves there, but really looking forward to it.
Well, Kane the Train Pettifer's one and zip. Now run us through your training, mate. You know, I take my hat off to you. I've done a little bit of boxing, and it's just the most hardest sport. Your fatigue, you've got to watch your weight, what you eat. Being a footballer, you obviously eat a lot of food, but you just got to really watch your weight, because if you don't weigh in, you don't get to fight. So just run everyone through a normal week of your training.
Been training twice a day, sometimes three times a day with Nigel McCarthy, who does a lot of work with Sam Solomon.
What gym's that out of?
Out of Southside Fitness in St Kilda there, Fitzroy Street. So I'm spending a lot of time in there, and getting there on a Monday morning, and just do a lot of focus pads, technique stuff. Being obviously not growing up doing a heap of boxing, and just a lot of technique stuff and footwork stuff and things like that with Sam and Nigel, and as I got a bit of boxing fitness, I sort of stepped in the ring and just did a lot of sparring and just a lot of movement in the ring. So it was pretty grueling sessions at the start. I was going home, blood nose and black eyes and the wife sitting there going, is it really worth it? after it's a pretty addictive sport. So after like a few weeks, and you think you're getting better and getting through the rounds, and you start to enjoy it. So it's pretty grueling, but looking forward to it. But like the weeks are long, and it's been tough doing juggling that with football as well. So I've lost nearly 6 kilos for the fight. So it's been solid with the food, mate. As you know, it's having a beer and a pizza after the games has been down to chicken breast and broccoli and water.
Now, you speak about Sammy Solomon, mate, one of Australia's great boxers, and it must be such a great mentor to have him in your corner and to be learning off such a, he's got the biggest heart of all time. So that must be a great experience to be learning the craft off him.
Yeah, it's great to have Sam there. Just spent hours with him a day, sort of most days before he went over to New York for his fight. So just with him, just all his experience. And, a lot of other boxers say, no one trains harder than Sammy. And, I found that out when I was on my hands and knees throwing up most sessions with him, because he's an absolute machine in the gym and in the ring. And, he's helped me out a lot. And, I can't wait to have him in my corner Wednesday night. And, we'll go through a few more sessions before then. But, he's great to have, and I'm very privileged of that.
We're talking to Kane Pettifer on Dead Set Legends. Hey, Kane, Green versus Watts, it's a massive card. And just take us back a little bit. You spoke about the nerves going into a boxing game. I mean, you played 113 for the Tigers. The difference between that sort of 3-day to 5-minute period before you run out onto the ground and that 3-day to 5-minute period before you start walking to the ring.
Yeah, well, obviously playing footy, you've got your mates around you, so you can sort of work off them, and you're going into battle together. And obviously I've got Nigel, and I'll have Sam and my best mate Dogger in the corner. But once you get in there, it's all on you. And obviously I've put in the work, but just got to sort of overcome those nerves and the anxiety of getting in there and just relax and try and put together what we've been doing for the last 10 weeks.
Now, let's be honest, Pets, all the Richmond supporters listening now thought, how's Kane Pettifer fighting? He used to play in the grandstand. He didn't get a hard ball. He used to sit in the grandstand and get the hot dogs and the pies, and the ball filtered out there. You'd try to kick some snags. And now you're in a ring. There's nowhere to run. And I actually watched you in your first fight, and I was like, okay. But you've got great technique, and you're actually really good at it. So what made you go into boxing?
Growing up in Kyabra, one of my dad's best mates.
Good old Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, yep. So Dad goes, righto, when I started playing under 12s, under 14s, I was pretty soft. So he said, righto, you got to start doing some boxing. So I went down there and, I had a bit of a passion for it, watching a few older guys at the Kai Footy Club, and then obviously going to Richmond and having John Vickery and as a boxing coach there and Sam Solomon. So Sammy would come down and take us for a few sessions, and, that's when I sort of got the... Got a bit of passion for the sport.
Hey, Pets, I've just got a text message off one of our great mates, Big Pie down at Yarrawonga, and he said, can you ask Pets if the bloke he's fighting is under 50 years old this time?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked his age or...
He's a smart-ass Pie, isn't he?
Yeah, he's...
How about we get him in the ring?
Yeah, get him in the ring. He'd blow up stressed over
it. Mate,
I'm not sure how old he is, but yeah, he's had a few fights. So
he's had four fights, so he's obviously been in the ring a few more times than you. So good luck, mate. Great having you on Dead Set Legends, and you know, going into playing AFL and then going into professional sport, there's not too many people that can say they've done that. So I take my hat off to you, mate. Good luck for your fight on Wednesday night, and good luck to the Kyber and Bombers for the rest of the year. You're on top of the goal kicking?
Yeah, it's been good not having you next to me. They actually kicked the ball to me.
Go Bombers.
He loves a snag, Pets. Thanks, mate. Good luck Wednesday night. All
good
the
on
best.
You, Kane. All the very best. How are we coming
train.
Up shortly?
Choo-choo. Yeah, he's all a star. Aboard the P train.
Absolute star. You're right, Fiff. He'd want to go from the footy field to the boxing ring.
Mate, it's an amazing guy. Effort. His body looks in great nick, and it actually takes such great dedication to be a boxer. And I've done a bit of the training, as I said, and it's a brutal sport.
Yeah.
Not just in the ring, but the stuff they do behind the scenes is just incredible. So good luck to Pets, mate, and hope he gets another win. Two and zip he'll be.
Yeah, I've got close to the ring. I walked past the gym once. we've got Howie coming up next. This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Barry Denner and Brendan Favola here. Fev, we were just talking about kicking goals there as part of the interview with Paddy Dangerfield, and there was a little bit of a pillow put on it in regards to it's not all about kicking goals. Now, seriously, it
AFL, it's about everyone, you know, contributing. But when you're playing local footy, mate, it's all about snags, hot dogs, beer. And this bloke here we've got on here, Rowan Baldock from Tasmania, he's kicking a lot of snags, Baz.
Playing coach for the South Burnie Footy Club, the reigning premiers, Rowan has eclipsed the State League goal-kicking record of 183 goals and has 188 for the season, including bags of 23 and 21 this year with three rounds to go. Rowan, good morning to you, mate. You are absolutely flying.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, just trying to do me a bit.
Stop it. Come on. Dead Set Legends is all about me. It's all about pumping it up. Come on, tell us. I mean, you must have had an average day last week. You only kicked six.
Yeah, mate. She's typical northwest winter conditions last week. I was lucky to get six kicks, I reckon. But we had some good guys on our team, and still got the ball down to me enough, and managed to kick six, mate.
Now, Rowan, I had a bit of a squeeze at your Twitter feed, and I saw you kicking the record-breaking goal. And the goal umpire, very, very excited as he signaled the goal and he was punched in the air. But I believe he might have been a close personal relative.
Yeah, mate. We rocked up there and the goal umpire pulled out because the weather, obviously, it was about -3 degrees, I reckon, and pissing down. So AB, my dad, had to step in and goal umpire, and he was pretty happy with that.
So it was a point.
Handball over the top.
It was a point?
Oh, definitely.
Now, your team, South Burnie, is going pretty well, mate. You're the playing coach down there, obviously reigning premiers. You're looking look like taking the chocolates again. With 181 goals, you've got to be on top, surely.
Yeah, we're actually second on the ladder. Oh. We've lost a few games. We dropped the game down to Queenstown, Fev.
That's horrific. It's on the gravel.
That's it, mate. You've seen what it was like down there. We dropped a couple others, but at the moment we're playing some good footy and stringing some together, and I reckon if we can keep it up, we can definitely give it a good shake.
Now, when you play down at Queenstown, mate, when I went down there, I did a function down there last year. If I was the opposition team, I'd just say I've got a sore hammy.
Oh, mate, yeah.
How do you play on that? It's got rocks on it.
Yeah, it's not real good. The worst thing is about being coach, you can't do those sort of things. You've already got about 15 guys pull out the top 15 injuries, and you got to ring up every. There's a lot of one gamers we ring up to have a game down
there. Sure. Now, Rowan, just going back to your bags of goals of 23 and 21 this year. Now, a part of our great game that we do enjoy is a little bit of sledging out on the ground. So by the time you get to 6 or 7, 8, 9 maybe, when did you run out of things to say to your opponent, mate?
It's more the Canberra saying things to me. I think that's what it is. It's not so much that the other way around, but you know how it is. You just try and you got to kick them while you can.
Now you've kicked 70 more goals than your next best, or the next best leading goal kicker in the race. So he's kicked over 100 as well. He must be that flat with you.
Someone said any other year he'd be a shoo-in to win the goal kicking, but yeah, he's had a really good year too. Actually, he's a really good bloke, that guy. So
188 goals. How many points?
It'd be a few, Fev. I don't know. Someone probably kept track of it somewhere, but yeah.
So you reckon over 100 points?
Probably not over 100. Probably like 90 odd, I reckon.
Geez, you've had nearly 300 shots at goal in 15 games.
Tell you what, Rowan, I know you're the coach, mate, and footy is a team game, but it's hard not to individualise, mate, when you've kicked 188 goals. To put it into context, Viv, in 1979, the great Peter Hudson kicked 179 goals for Glenorchy in the Tassie State League.
I broke his record down at his ground.
Yeah, well, you would.
Whatever.
You broke most people's records. Home and away season, that was. He kicked another 30 in the finals. And he totaled 209 goals for the season. You've got finals coming up, Rowan, and that record also is under threat.
I didn't even know about that until Rog came down and told me the other day.
You knew, don't you say you didn't know. Us forwards know every record.
We don't want anything humble, Rowan.
For him to kick 209 in the state league, though, that's something else, I think.
No, it's not.
Is this all? Have you done this all your life? Is this something that, I mean, you've kicked bags of guys as a junior? Did you just know where they were, know how to get them, and it's just been something you've gone with your whole career?
I didn't start playing football until I was about 20 because I used to play basketball, but ever since then I sort of played full forward and always been able to kick a few, but obviously not this many.
Just before we let you go, mate, there's only 11 players in the history of football around Australia that have kicked over 200 goals in a season. So that's on, you can become the 12th. And here's a little stat for you, mate. Just when you run out, you're playing coach and you tell everyone, you know, it's not about me, to clear out the 50, because the all-time record held by Trevor Sutton, who kicked 249 goals for Deniliquin in the Murray Football League in 1982. So if you kick another 60 snags, which you can do because you're averaging 12, you can break the all-time record in Australia for goals kicked in a competition.
Yeah, well, I might have to clear the 50 out, mate. We've got a couple of bottom dwellers in the next two games, so I might just have to see how many.
There you go. That's your goal, buddy. That's your goal. And let us know. We'll keep track and we'll get you back on when you break that record, because that'd be an amazing feat. No matter what footy you're playing, to kick 250 snags in a season is incredible. So good luck for the rest of the year.
Just one more run before we let you go. It's a famous surname, mate. Baldock, Tasmania. Are you related to the great man, Darryl Baldock?
I think Dad. It's my pop's cousin, Darryl Baldock, is, I think, somewhere along that line. I've never met him, though, so, yeah.
Well, mate, that is excellent bloodlines. Fantastic. Your season is something that is captivating the imagination of the nation now, so all the best as you try and bust that record open of 209 goals by the time the finals are done. Good luck, mate.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Good luck, buddy.
Rowan Baldock joining us. This is Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Great effort.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Barry Denner and Brendan Favola. Beautiful Saturday morning, Fev. If you're going to talk motorsport, you talk to this man because he knows more about the game than the archives themselves. Greg Russ, Rusty, good morning to you.
Barry, good morning to you. It's nice to chat with you again. I am, I've got to say, very surprised about the length of the leave pass that Triple M have given Mark Howard. Oh. How did he pull that off, boys?
Mate, he's on the biggest junket of all time. And I reckon he's lost his job too, because Baz is better
he's
than...
doing a ripper job.
Baz is better than Howie.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, Greg, but he was actually supposed to be back Wednesday. It's been extended. I don't know why. Read into that what you will. Greg, Formula One, of course, is in Germany this weekend. Lewis Hamilton, he took the championship lead last weekend, but Nico Rosberg seems to have an ace up his sleeve for the second half of the season.
He does, and it's in the form of engines, Barry. So in this game, they have a limited amount that they can use throughout the year, and Hamilton is already pretty maxed out. He's down to his final engine, where Rosberg has three at least up his sleeve, and there are still 10 rounds to come in this championship. So you're right, they're in Germany this weekend. We're on the final stop, if you like, before they have a mid-season break of about a month, and then it's a real busy back end from the end of August through to the completion of the championship. Hamilton took the lead, but it's only by 6 points coming into this weekend, and in both
that's a goal
sessions. Yeah, but I mean, Rosberg's looked mighty fair in the practice session so far, and he finished session two nearly 4/10 of a second faster than Hamilton. Hamilton looks a little bit ruffled by this, I reckon. I think this is the ace up Rosberg's sleeve, but he's got to maximise it. So looks like being a really close battle too between the Ferraris and the Red Bulls in Germany.
Yeah, mate, you say Hamilton's only got one engine left, but surely they switch it over.
I mean, he's... it'll be like, you kind of recycle. My buddy Neil Crompton, who I work with in the supercars, has a great line about you recycle your best dirty shirts kind of thing, and they'll make something work for him, but it will leave him a bit hamstrung on occasions. And The big difference will be if he does have to take a penalty for an engine change and affects him, say, in qualifying and things like that, that's where it'll wound him in the second half of the season, and it's very likely he'll cop one of those at least.
Now, James Courtney, the 2010 Supercars champ, can't take a trick. He's had more surgery this week.
Yeah, but this is preventative. This is actually a good thing. So it was a two-hour procedure. He had that freak accident 12 months ago at Sydney Motorsport Park where some signage was blown over and that hit him in the chest, broke five ribs, damaged his lungs. I spoke with him recently at an event, guys, and he still doesn't sleep very well. It really has knocked him around. You know, he wakes in the middle of the night in a bit of pain and so on. So they, by all accounts, dull some nerve endings, and he'll need to have this surgery on more than one occasion, but it limits the pain and it means that he'll be tip-top for the, you know, the races to come, and it's a pretty important time for him as well. He's off contract with the Holden Racing team this year, and lots of questions about where he'll end up in 2017.
And finally, Rusty, the Supercars, one more round before the endurance starts, the endurance races start, especially down at Sandown here in Melbourne in September. A few people think that this race might be more important than the championship outcome.
Exactly right, Pev, and to the point where, you know, a Jamie Wincup, who leads the championship now by 110 points, he's had a good long-term partnership with a guy called Paul Dumbrell. They'll be a mighty combination in those Enduros. And Shane Van Gisbergen, who's second in the championship at the moment, he's got an international co-driver, a guy called Alex Premer, who's got experience in supercars but hasn't been with the Red Bull team before and didn't drive the car recently when they gave these co-drivers some miles. So a few people wondering where, you know, how that'll impact on Van Gisbergen's championship chances. And you absolutely can't write off Craig Lowndes here either, boys. He had a mighty run at Queensland last weekend, and he and Stephen Richards are the defending Bathurst champions. So they'll be guys that'll pick up a swag of points in October and September.
Mate, just on these endurance races, how many kegs do you reckon a driver would lose?
Oh, far out. I mean, you're talking 3 to 4 at least, but it depends on the race. You know, Sandown's not as brutal as a Bathurst. It does depend on the temperature, but the intensity of the championship this year, guys, I mean, we've had 10 different race winners. If that sort of thing carries into Bathurst, it'll be one of the most epic Bathursts we've had. It is going to be brutal.
Well, Baz and I are thinking we might put a car in if we're going to lose four kegs.
What about that? The Triple M Commodore or something?
The DLS, just cruising down Sandown, losing four kegs.
Yeah. We could lose that in one night. For
Make it happen, brother. That'd be cool.
Thanks, Rusty.
See you, boys. Cheers.
Greg Russ joining us, our motorsport expert here on Dead Set Legends. Paddy Dangerfield coming up shortly after that 25-point win to the Cats over the Bulldogs. Rowan Baldock a little bit later on, Tasmanian footy star. He's got 187 goals on the board.
He's got a very famous last name. I wonder if he's related.
We're going to ask that question. And we've got massive injury news when it comes to Australian rules football that we're going to break a little bit later on, Fez. But this is huge.
I think it's been broken, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, we will. This is Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. For Harvey Norman, Barry Denner and Brendan Favola. And Fev, got a massive, very special guest on the line. Benny Dixon, of course, 203-game hawk. Never quite got to 204, like yourself, Fev.
Yeah, but, didn't get there.
He's a superstar in his own right. And, of course, assistant coach for the boys on the recruit and doing a fantastic job.
I think he's Mick Moldhouse's handbag on the show, I think.
Well, what does Benny think? G'day, Benny. Good morning to you.
Good, Fev. How are we?
Good, Dicko.
Exciting show, mate. She's kicked off very well, so the second one, and the tension is already rising.
Yeah, it's been good. I think the difference between season one and two is just the quality and the shots and probably the places we went and the special guests we have on. But having Mick on, it's created a bit of colour. This week's even more so. He goes off his nana this week, so I'll be tuning in. And seeing Mick Moldhouse go off is one thing, but copping the wrath as a young amateur player is another thing. So it's a pretty good episode three.
You talk about special guests, and everyone's waiting to episode 9, but what are some of the special guests you've had on, mate?
We've had Ian Thorpe, Kathy Freeman, we've had Stephanie Rice, Lauren Eagle, and we've got the big Fevolinko coming on. Yes. We saved the best for last, as you know, Fev, so the boys got up for Big Fev in episode 9. And just rolled out a bit of your gold, Fev, a couple of corker lines and had them going a bit.
A couple of corkers, mate. And I really like this show, The Recruit, and I think you guys do a great job. And, you know, run by Luke Tunnicliffe, the expert out at Triple M. You're giving guys a chance when they thought it was gone, and they've got this opportunity for anyone that doesn't know The Recruit. if you win the recruit, you get put on an AFL list at the end of it. So it's a massive carrot for the boys.
Oh, it is. And you know the traditional pathway, TAC, might be sample footy, VFL footy. Well, you go try and go outside of that and give, as you said, guys an opportunity to get drafted. And when I say get drafted, they actually get to pick their club at the end of the show. So at a live draft, the clubs nominate and then the player picks, which is very rare in our game, as you know, and they get a spot on the AFL list. So there's a couple of guys we've got that are definitely worthy of a spot on AFL list. So that's what makes out probably a good series.
Of course, the recruit we're talking about on Fox 8 Wednesday nights at 8:30, the next episode. Don't miss, it's fascinating. I reckon, Benny, from my eyes anyway, the difference between the first and second series, or one of the differences, is the fact that six of these guys are actually on VFL lists at the moment, playing ones in the VFL. I mean, the talent that's out there that you're exposing is just enormous.
It is, and I say this, and I don't say it lightly, that the winner of Season 1 probably wouldn't make our top three this year. That's the strength of the talent we've got. So we've cast the net a little bit wider, and that's why we had a gap year, because the registrations were enormous, so we had to get through them properly. And as you mentioned, we've got guys playing at Frankston, the Ballarat Roosters, Essendon. So there's guys playing at the top level outside the AFL, and they're doing pretty well too. So they've taken what they've learned from the show, and they've run with it. So hopefully they get their opportunity.
Now, Dicko, you've got some great kids on there, and some of the backstories are just incredible to watch. And some people, you know, that don't realise what some of these kids have to go through and why they've missed out on playing AFL. But we get to see that in this show, which is a great insight.
It is, Fev, spot on. I've got Jaden Kelly from Broken Hill, who's one of Tex Walker's good mates. He works a kilometre underground.
Wow.
And he came out and trialled, and we go, gee, this bloke plays all right. Where do you come from? He's about a kilometre underground. He's a miner, and he's one of the guys that has missed his opportunity, because work took over his life pretty much as soon as he left school. So you got guys that are from Halls Creek, like Daniel Cox, middle of nowhere, and they get their opportunity to come to the big city. And you're right, there's plenty of backstories.
Whoa, slow down, Dicko.
Sorry, I just had to park the bike, boys. but yeah, you're right. All the backstories are great. And Jason Williams, who opened up last week on the show, got delisted. But yeah, there's obviously a reason, as you know, Fev, that some of these guys don't get drafted. But it's not necessarily all about the footy. It's what happens in their life that affects their pathway.
Yeah, and I think that's what, as a viewer, that we love seeing. So obviously the show's been filmed, but there's no winner yet. It goes down to the top three. And then is it the final episode where the players get picked, am I right?
Yeah, so we'll get down to episode 9, which is the last one, Fev, where you make the appearance, and then we go to a live draft grand final week. So
wow.
The top three will go to the live draft, and that's when the clubs put a bid in, and then the recruit picks the club he wants to go to, which is a big decision. I mean, Johan Wagner.
Huge decision.
Previous years had Gold Coast, GWS, Port Adelaide, and he chose Port Adelaide. So
might have been a mistake.
Yeah, it could be. Gold Coast might have been the option with their injuries. Yeah. I've got to go.
Benny, great sporting events around the world. I mean, here in Australia, the Melbourne Cup, of course, the Ashes Test Series against England, the AFL Grand Final at the MCG. But I tell you what, for anyone that's ever experienced it, on the Tiwi Islands, the Grand Final there, and I believe in Episode 3, we're going to see some ripping stuff.
Oh, it's hilarious. It is really funny, and I say that in the nicest way. I mean, these boys, the 2 hours they played, it was like they did Bikram yoga for 2 hours. Their heads were blowing up from the heat. And we played in unbelievable conditions, and it was slick footy. And then we watched the Tiwi Grand Final afterwards. And I'm not joking, we had 4 stoppages for the whole game. 4 stoppages. It was almost 1 1/4. It just was, the ball was flinging up and down the ground. There was goals, like, honestly, it was unbelievable footy to watch. And if you've never done it, it's worth going to watch for sure.
Good on you, Benny. Congratulations. It's just travelling beautifully, the recruit. We look forward to episode 3 Wednesday night, 8:30 on Fox 8. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Fez. Thanks, Buzz.
Go the Pigeons.
Benny Dixon, what a superstar. This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.